and flow in the gifts that he's given us to feed one another and edify one another. I often get complaints from a few people that they want me in the pulpit every single week forever. And I've only been preaching in this church, I go back probably the early 1990s, even when I lived in Evansville, I come up here and preach. So that's a good 30 years. I'm thinking, do you really need to hear me 30 more every single week? But I know the Word of God. It is the whole body. That's why he saves us, fills us with the Spirit, gives us gifts to flow in, prophecy, exhortations, words of knowledge, tongues, interpretation, words of wisdom, healing, discernment of spirits. You cannot operate in that setting at home on your couch. Amen. And when we come together, we're a complete body. We don't put the Pope in the place of Jesus. There I said it. We don't have one person we lift up, and I will never allow myself to be that way. For years, I understand what he meant when he talked about the ministering of the body. So that's, you cannot get at home what you get when you come together. So God said that. I looked at this group of people last night in this little church, and it was practically full because it was 50 years of people because of one man and his wife having a burden for people down in Central America and South America being called to the mission field. His name is Sam Harrington. Faithfully, for 50 years, this man has led mission groups down there, built homes for people, built churches, ministered the gospel, ministered to the sick. The things I can tell you that I saw down there on those trips, and really that's how I got started going down to Guatemala. But I looked at all these people and I thought, wow, I don't know most of these people. And the Lord said to me, no, of course you didn't. This is 50 years of this man's faithfulness with people that went on other mission trips with him that you never went with. And some that I went with have passed. I started as a very young man. Sam Harrington's 95 years old. And he reminds me of Leila McNabb. He's just faithful, 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 faithful. And I listen to people get up. I had to get up myself and bring honor to the Lord through this person and how it revolutionized my life. But if you can just get a single vision, what God wants you to do, and you know, so many times I can look out at a congregation like, this is not even my message, people. Perhaps I'm supposed to not even really dig into it today. But I ask you, and I guess I'm just going to share from my heart, and perhaps that's where the Lord's taken me, when I say to you, what has God called you to do? And I look at Christians that have been in Christ for 25, 30, 40 years, and they give me this deer in the headlights look. Yeah. Or in Andy's case, the deer in his shotgun barrels look. Or his bow, I think you bow hunt. There's something wrong, people. You should not be serving the Lord 25, 30 years, and you don't even know how he's called you. Do you know what that tells me? A couple of things. It tells me that, A, you haven't been or yielded to the Holy Spirit like you should, because he talks, he calls, he equips, and he gives you boldness to do that which he has called you. Or B, you haven't spent a lot of intimate time with him to hear his voice. He's not going to let you wander in the wilderness all your life and have no clue what you're supposed to do for him. I can tell you in our discussion in Sunday school, and more of you need to attend, that Andy brought out the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the importance of that. And I started going on like I do. And sometimes I think I should avoid the class occasionally so you guys can let other people speak but me. Boy, Dave's so patient with me in that class. He He is so much. I think we've gotten to a place in our church, in the church world, even full gospel or Pentecostal churches or whatever thing you stick over your door. And I don't know about you, but when I was younger, there was a definitive understanding and teaching that you needed to come to a place in your Christian life where you were anointed, filled, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just some slow morphing photosynthesis thing that you just kind of floated into, and now everybody's filled with the Spirit. And I don't see the markings or the signs that you are. I'm not talking, now please don't, this is not condemnation. This is the church world. We have to have a place and a time where if we look in the book of Acts, and I guess I'll just read it. Boy, this sermon's going a completely different. Okay, Lord, that's just fine. I see how he's directing this. Okay. I'll just read it, the account. How many? Wow, you know, my original message was fasten your seatbelt, you're in for a bumpy ride. That's going to be for another day. It's going to be for another day. But you have to really quit looking at this as a book of fairy tales or historical facts that really do not apply to you today. You have to look at this as the Word being alive, a very present guide for you today. You have to look at this Word being Jesus Christ. He was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. You have to understand when you read this Word, you're coming in contact with Jesus Himself. And this Word has the power to change you in so many ways. This Word has the power to put faith in your heart, because after all, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you don't expose yourself enough to this Word, either listening to it, reading it, hearing a good Bible-based preacher that's not going to go off and hardly ever quote a scripture in his message, make sure the Word is there. I mean, I always tell people, I'm not into the wrong rainbow people. I don't know why I said that, but I said that because my messages are color-coded. Every color you see here is Scripture. And if I look through this message and I don't see enough color, I go back to here. Because it is the Word that is going to do the work in you. That is why I have such a confidence in going out and winning souls. And Adam talked about that last week. Because I know if I expose them to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that faith is going to be planted there. It is the Word. We can do a lot of good works for people, but you know, baking apple pies for your neighbor for 20 years, but never sharing with them the gospel will never lead them to Christ, and they could slide right to hell with a belly full of apple pies. And if you felt inadequate because of Adam's message last week, let's read Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to go back to Acts 1:8 before I read it. These are the words of Jesus. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now understand this. When you ask Jesus in your heart, He puts His Spirit there. He has come into your heart by faith, by His Spirit. So He's there in that measure. But you must have a point in time in your life where you experience that giant, powerful move of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So for all the people that tell me how Spirit-filled they are, yet I don't see them winning a one soul to Christ, I don't see this power, I just want to go and say, God, anoint these hands to impart this power, and I want to run at him and just let him have it. Because this is what the Bible says. And somehow we get so off track and we lay claim to experiences, yet it doesn't line up with this. And if you go all the way through the book of Acts, there was a defense. Let me read this. Acts 2. My goodness. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. In the year 2022, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all at home on their couches watching church on Facebook Live. Okay, doesn't happen that way. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm glad we have it. But they were with all in accord in one place. And sometimes things happen in churches, people, where you have to remove the discord, you have to remove the dissension, and it's painful, and it's hard, and it hurts. But you want the people in one accord in Jesus Christ, not themselves or their own agendas. And it's painful, and that has to happen. You know, he told them to wait here for that power. And there's something lost when evangelists quit preaching about tarrying at the altar. I believe in it. You're never going to have me not preach that. We got into this thing where we just said, well, just claim it and it's yours. But there is a time where God wants you to respect him enough and love him enough to wait on him. We even have it on the back of our wall here. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you feel weary and everything. Pull back, drop back, and wait on him, and wait before him. So that's what they were told to do here at the day of Pentecost. And suddenly, say that with me, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can you imagine that happening in here? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, if you're sitting here thinking the them were just the 12 apostles minus Judas, you are sadly mistaken. I think, what was it, 70? What am I? 120 in the upper room. And guess what? They weren't all men. Did you know that? Because it even said, and the women. He was equipping them all for the ministry he's called them to do. And so, if you were taught in your younger years this was just for the apostles, or like me, when I came back excitedly to the church that I was attending and said, I think I got sanctified, because they were always telling me to get sanctified. When some middle-aged and older women laid hands on me, they didn't tell me really why. I had no teaching on the matter. And they prayed. They said, we'd just like to pray for you, young man. I was a little disappointed because I thought when I was invited to a ladies' Bible study, there might be one my age, but that didn't happen. God had something better. Not against that, but I mean, you know. And I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Nothing. And all of a sudden, there was a surge inside of me I cannot explain. There was a language inside of me that I'd never spoken. And I thought, are they going to think I'm weird if I start? I want to talk. I want to say some things in this language. I didn't know what was happening. They didn't sit down and give me 10 points on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the power from God and did not need. The Holy Ghost does not need our help. He didn't need help from man on the day of Pentecost. Because here's what happened. I'll tell you for the 115th time what happened to me, because you've all heard this testimony. I just love to tell it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, as the Spirit gave them the words. Now, you know, and I'm not going to paste my experience onto you and say it had to happen the way it happened to me. All I know is those words are supplied to me. As I'm talking to you right now in English, I'm not thinking of every single word I say. It's just in here. And it flows out with the thought that's here. And that gift works the same way in me. I don't think of every single word in the language God has given me that I'm speaking. I open my mouth and it flows out. Just like as I speak English. Well, this is what happened to these people. Now, they didn't get just filled with tongues to run around and show off to everybody, and half of the crowd would think they were crazy, you know, if it wasn't done properly. But it goes on. People came and heard them speaking in the language of the country they came from, but we kind of miss this because now we want to explain that away. Well, God needed some extra miracle because they couldn't understand Hebrew. False. They understood Hebrew perfectly. They were coming there for that moment for a Jewish festival. Was it Passover? They were coming over there? Pentecost? Pentecost is what happened. So Peter stood up after they witnessed this miracle and heard them all speak in the language of the countries they came from. They had no language barrier because Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and gave them a whole message of the gospel in Hebrew, and they understood him perfectly. So quit, don't receive that kind of an explanation. They needed to see the miracle. They needed to see, I think only one time in my life God has used that tongue in a way that it was very similar to the day of Pentecost, and that was that fortune teller on the phone. Sherry, do you know that story? Okay, all right. So since Sherry doesn't know it, I'm dragging the whole church. Oh my goodness, Lord, you know I'm so used to laying everything out. Where am I going? Where am I going? Well, Sherry, I saw in the Lebanon Reporter, I won't say the nickname of the Lebanon, well, I won't say it, but some guy was in the classified saying that he would tell your fortune and he had a fee and all this. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to witness to him. He's got a familiar spirit. This has got to stop. And I think I was about 23 at the time. Hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost too long. And I talked to him every which way but loose, up, down, sideways. You need Jesus. You need the real power from God. What you got's a counterfeit. God has the real thing, you know. He wasn't listening to me. And then God started saying, speak to him in the language I've given you. Now, you know me. I like doing it by the book, but Lord, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, 14 says, if there be no interpreter, keep silent. So what are you asking me to do? So I kept checking the Holy Spirit again and again, and I kept getting the same thing. Speak to him in the language I've given you. But Lord, will he not think you are mad? Isn't that what it says? And I thought, he may think that way anyway. What have I got to lose? But so I just let it rip. I just started speaking in tongues over the phone to this guy. And of course, my heart rate probably went up to about 120. Like, now what's going to happen? This guy freaked out. Where did you learn that language? How do you know that language? And I wanted to say, what language? I mean, I don't know whether it's a tongue of men or of angels or what. And I said, I didn't have to learn it, sir. The Holy Spirit gave it to me just now. And he told me to talk to you in this language. And he flipped out on the phone. He said, you know that, he says, I studied ancient Arabic for years and you're speaking it perfectly. For years. Now I'm thinking, God, what was the interpretation of that? I didn't have to ask. He said, you have been talking about the light of God, him being the true light which comes into the world. He says, I got to get off this phone. You are really freaking me out. Bible does say, because I like hanging something on the word, tongues are a sign for those who believe not. And so he used that in this instance like he did the day of Pentecost. And I acted all cool, calm, and collected. Sir, I told you that if you just trust Jesus, you get the real thing and all that. So he got off the phone, and then I fell apart. I had a Pentecostal breakdown all over the living room floor. I was freaking out. Oh, my gosh. How powerful is that? What I want to say before I close out today, because I think there's been enough said about the Holy Spirit, please recognize his presence. Recognize him. Honor him when he is in the room. Honor him when he visits you, wherever it may be. Honor him. And the church has, what the problem with the church today is, they do not understand this work of God on believers to fill and empower them and equip them to be witnesses throughout the earth. It is a definitive thing that happens. It's not some gradual little, there's not a place you can show me in the book of Acts where when people were filled with the Spirit, it took about 20 years and they just kind of morphed into it. It was a definitive thing, whether someone laid hands on them and imparted the Holy Spirit in power to them so they could have gifts of the Holy Spirit and witness. Or I have actually prayed this. I like what he did with Peter one day with the Gentiles. Peter was up preaching the gospel. And it said, while he was yet preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on the uncircumcision. That means non-Jews, Gentiles. And they not only became saved at that moment, he did a quick work. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. So they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That's what I pray, God. I like the anointing to be on me so much that when I preach, even if I don't feel it, that your anointing will fall on people. That it will be your power, not me trying to coerce, coax, force. We do that too much. And we need to get out of this thing. We need to get back to the Word of God. Go through the book of Acts. I challenge you. Every place where someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, it happened suddenly, either by the laying on of hands or what I told you about Peter. But it was a sudden move of God on people to empower them, just like the day of Pentecost. His Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because the Word is Jesus, and that's Him. So let's get back to the Bible. And if you're not sure you've had that filling, empowering of the Holy Spirit, we can simply ask God for it. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I have seen him do that. I've seen that in a young 14-year-old boy down there in Evansville one time. Didn't have any church background. Impetuous Aaron. And Aaron, I was telling the young guys in youth group, has had the youth group, I said, you know, you guys have all gotten saved now. Led them to the Lord. I said, now there needs to come a point in time where you ask the Lord and you allow him to empower you to go out and witness, be a witness to your friends at school and all that. And I didn't even describe very much about it. I just said, you need to be empowered. And here's Aaron. Well, if the Bible says it, I want it. I said, now? And he goes, yeah, right now. I thought, well, here's a challenge. So I said, let's go into the sanctuary. They had a platform about like this. And I asked those, I felt like I was flying by the seat of my pants. I said, you know, Aaron, we're just going to ask God to give you this power. And that's all I told him. He didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And the other boys were kind of interested to see what's going to happen to him. You know, they didn't really know what was going on really at all. And so we started praying. And here I took they were newly saved, and I told them, put your hands on Aaron, because the Bible, there's a doctrine of laying on of hands. I want to preach about that someday. And I asked God to just simply fill him. And I looked out of the corner of my eye, because there was some movement, and Aaron, he was shaking like this. And I thought, oh, something's happening here. And I watched that young man, kaboom! You had Adam here last week. You know what? You guys know this about Adam. He said, Kevin, we're eliminating catchers in the church. And I said, what? Because you see, I own the church building, and I'm thinking of insurance liability. He goes, well, some people are just falling out. He says, I think some people are falling out. They're talking themselves into it. You know, some are of God and some are not. And we got to eliminate what's not of God. Best way to eliminate is quit catching them. Now, I'm not doing that here. I am not watching people bounce off the floor and all this. But Aaron did. He went kaboom, just went right off the floor. And they go, oh, what's wrong? And I watched this young man lay on flat on his back. He wasn't hurt because it was God. And I heard the most beautiful language come out of his lips. For a long time, he just lay there. And now, I didn't even teach him about that. And I thought, well, Lord, I know this one is true blue. Oh, my goodness. I just know that it's a definitive experience that Christians should ask the Lord for. And if you don't, like I said in Sunday school, if you're not sure about what I'm telling you, you come from a church that doesn't teach or practice it, even talks against it, this is what I want you to do. How many of you here believe the Word of God? All of it. Then you ask him, if you're not sure about this, say, I'm reading about all this in the book of Acts. Some people told me it passed away. They never give you a definitive date or anything. And if they read a few more passages, it says, when we see him face to face in heaven, we're not going to need all these prophecies. It says a word of knowledge. It says knowledge will pass away. I always ask him, well, then you don't have any knowledge either if you think it passed away. But ask, say, look, I'm reading in this book of Acts, and I'm seeing this happening to Christians. So I want that experience. I don't want to just have an experience that Kevin talked about. I want this experience. Whatever this is, I don't have to understand it, God, but this was from you to empower me to be a witness, and especially now, because we are in quite an hour before the Lord returns. This is going to be the final hour, the greatest hour of the church, and I want you to be ready. That was the fasten your seatbelt thing. But I want you to be empowered and ready for what's to come. And just say, I want what this Bible says. I'm reading about it. I want that for me, Lord. I'm coming to you honestly. And see what he does. See what he does. You can't go wrong if you ask for a true blue Bible experience. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to close now. That's the message I got. That's where we were going to. And I will pick this up. It's not going to be next week because it's Mother's Day. Find a good way to honor your mom, whether she's living or dead, please. It's so scriptural, and there are blessings of longer life and everything, but honor her for her. She's your mother. And it'll be a special day. So I'm going to talk about what honor means next week. So with that, I'm going to close. I hope I made you a little hungry and thirsty. This dream really set the stage. I guess I believe the Lord wanted you to become hungry for his Holy Spirit, to recognize his presence, to have that experience, not just say you've had it and you kind of morphed into it and you can't really tell me when it happened, but seek for the real thing. Seek for the real thing. They didn't see flames coming off of this church a few years ago across the street for nothing. That was prophetic. And that's the day I pray for in this body. Cloven tongues of fire, empower in this church, because we are in the last days. We need to witness to people. We need that power. Amen.